Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
Bradford Show. That's my open. That's what they used to call me, Swivel Hit Bradford. That's my open. I'm waiting for you to justify your stupid opinion. Bradford Show. That's delicious.
All right, we're back. I apologize to everybody who subscribed to the Bradford Show, who downloads the Bradford Show, who's a fan of the Bradford Show. It's been a few months. It's been a few months since we've actually conducted a podcast, executed a podcast, and I apologize. But now we're all in. I wanted to make sure that we could be hitting the ground running, that we could do the best podcast possible, that we could fully commit to making this the podcast that we envisioned all along, that the podcast had been all the way up until that point. And really, the last couple of months, I'll just tell you, I just wasn't feeling like I was going to be able to do that for whatever reason. Life, work, priorities, all of it. That was just the fact of the matter. So when I wanted to start it up again, I wanted to make sure that we were going to make this the absolute best it could be and worthy of your time to listen to, as I hope that it's been all along the way so far. So thank you once again, Lord Hobo, our sponsor, for being so patient. Great things coming with them, some great ideas, some remotes, everything. They're part of this whole deal. I couldn't ask for a better team, a better group of people, the more creative group of people to be a part of, just a cool group of people. And so they're going to be part of this thing going forward, and I'm looking forward to boom sauce t-shirts, hats, remotes, all of it. And also just really good podcast, really entertaining, I hope, really informative, I hope. We have the access, we have the ideas. But like I said before, I wanted to make sure that when we started this baby back up, it was going to be worthy of your time. And I kind of had it in my mind when I wanted to do it, and that was with the Mookie Betts podcast. We've done this 2 years in a row. This will be the third. Every year we have an arrangement, an agreement with Mookie, that once a year we sit down for about 28 minutes in the Fenway Park dugout, and we just talk. It's not running around. A lot of times when you get these player podcasts in our season, there's not a lot of time to do it. Mookie's very generous with his time. I feel like the last couple of years, and this one included, really it's been the best Mookie Betts interview you're going to find for that exact reason, because we're just talking. In this case, he's eating and talking. And you know what? As I said in the podcast, the best podcasts are when you're eating and drinking. So he was eating. It was great. It was good to talk to Mookie once again. So once again, here we go. We're on our way. We're feeling good about things. Subscribe, download, spread the word, all of it. But this is the launching point after a couple months off. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed this Mookie Betts podcast. All right, we do this once a year. I know, Mookie, you're very, very excited. This is probably the thing that sort of breaks up the season. Looking forward to doing this, right?
Exactly. This is exactly what I need.
So, first of all, I don't know you. I know that you know this, but I haven't done a podcast in like 3 months for the sole reason because when I wanted to reboot it, I wanted to do it with you. So congratulations on having that honor.
I think that means a lot. It means a lot that that I am. I'm the first one that you've done it in a while.
Yeah, you missed it. I'm sure you missed. missed
100%. I mean, this is that's what I live for.
Well, you know, we've had some good moments in the last couple of years. I mean, usually the weird thing is that we always do this around the same time. I don't know. I don't even know why. It's sort of like the beginning of June, end of May sort of deal.
I don't I know we do it, but I don't remember that.
All right. Well, who can forget you? Us talking about the Joel Embiid social media, right? Remember that?
Yep, that was last year.
Was it? Here's a takeaway. Here's a takeaway from the first year, right? The first year, we were talking a lot about the changing of the team, right? Or like the difference with David not being here and so forth and so on. Remember that?
Yep, I remember all that.
Okay. And then last year it was I do have a goal is to be the MVP. So congratulations on making your goal.
Shoot high and hopefully you land on the clouds.
By the way, just in case people don't, the best podcasts are the ones where you're either eating or drinking. And so what do you got? Shrimp. Let me see if I can guess this. Shrimp, rice, tomatoes, and some sort of dressing. Am I missing anything?
It's a shrimp scampi, so I don't read it. Whatever goes.
That's not a shrimp scampi. Shrimp scampi has pasta in it.
But we replace the pasta with rice.
That's not healthier.
No, I mean, I wouldn't go in after health.
Oh, you don't like pasta?
Not a huge pasta guy.
Not?
Yeah,
okay.
Not a huge one.
That's good carbs, though.
Yeah, great carbs. That's why. That's exactly why I do it.
I can tell you're bouncing off the walls. But then you go, last year, I also remember last year was, because I always end it saying, do you have any questions for me? And you bizarrely asked me what I thought of the Dodgers. I don't know if that was last year, but why are the Dodgers good? And I'll admit it right now, I'm like, I had barely paid attention to the Dodgers, but obviously now I know a little bit about the Dodgers. You were well ahead of the curve with that, too.
Mm-hmm. I try and pay attention. This is the one thing I look forward to every year, so I make sure I have a question.
You got one at the end? I'm not asking you now.
I got one.
All right. Okay. We won't ask that now. Which is weird. It's sort of weird that you asked about the Dodgers. Like, when you, and I don't know why I'm thinking of this, but now that you've played them, and like you're thinking that you like to play, focus on baseball, and there's a reason you asked that question. But then you play them, and you're like, oh, well, that was a little bit different than I thought it might be.
Yeah, I mean, the matchup, it's just weird because, matchups can definitely change games for sure, and kind of really didn't matter who plays who at this point. If you match up well against somebody, then you're going to succeed more.
You know what a Dodger player told me after was that you guys didn't necessarily outplay them, but you outprepared them.
That's fair. We prepared a lot. I guess they kind of go hand in hand. We executed our plan, and I think that's where the outplay kind of comes in. I mean, obviously you can prepare and everything, but you have to go execute it, and we did a great job in execution.
Good job. You won the World Series.
Thank you.
No one's ever congratulated you on that. Speaking of, like you said, we were, a couple years ago, I remember specifically you talking about Ortiz, and the quote I remember, and I'm going to paraphrase, was how it was an adjustment. How that at that time it was that you had to run everything through David, right? Remember, that's what I remember, because, and this is what I lean on way too much when I talk about leadership in baseball, because I don't think that's normal, because I think that leadership in baseball comes from different corners, but that was such a different dynamic. You remember that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was necessarily run everything through him, but it was more of like he kind of knows kind of everything that kind of goes on. Like, we're not necessarily looking for approval, but we do, like, he just kind of knows everything that kind of goes on, and like.
But that's not, I mean, again, I don't know if that's normal in a baseball.
We had a lot of young guys.
Yeah.
And so, I don't think we really had anybody else that anywhere near his stature, other than what, Hanley. And so, it was one of those things where we were all young and didn't necessarily know what we needed to do or how we needed to prepare and all those type of things. And so he kind of just knew everything that kind of went on. Like I said, we weren't asking for approval, but sometimes we'd be like, hey, I'm going to do this. I'm not really asking. I'm telling him what I'm going to do, but he knows it, there were some things that he sometimes that we didn't, but for the most part, he pretty much knew what was going on around the clubhouse.
I remember also you saying, at that time that was a big, like, oh, Mookie Betts has to show his personality, that whole thing. And you said, oh, maybe in 5 years where I'm comfortable and so forth and so on. So now we're 2 years later from that, looking back at that. Is it are you at the place where you thought you would be in that respect?
No. I mean, I think I've kind of progressed quicker than expected, which is, it means that I've put in a lot of work and, you know, it's shown on the field. Now I feel like I'm at a pretty good place in my career where I can show a little more personality. And I feel like I have some type of a platform to kind of show personality and show who I am, you know, and show that baseball is fun and all those type of things.
That's the thing, though. The weird thing is that I think that, you know, you have a personality. It's your personality. It's not, in I think baseball, it's like, oh, you have to go out and do this, or you have to do that, and you have to show, you know what I'm saying? That, like, that's probably one thing that, I don't want to say aggravates, would aggravate me, saying, hey, you know, everyone's saying I have to show more personality. Well, this is my personality.
Yeah, some people are more outgoing than others, and so there's no right or wrong way. It's just you have to let people do it their way, and I think some people in baseball try and govern how people show their personality, which is not right. I mean, you see guys in other sports kind of doing their own thing and showing their personality their own ways, and I think we should be able to do it our way.
Are you having fun? Is it fun? Because, and the reason I ask this, like, obviously, you know, listen, you're playing baseball. You're paid a lot of money for playing baseball. A lot of people like you. But with great power comes great responsibility. And sometimes, like it or not, I mean, that just probably isn't as fun as you would like to be.
Depends on how you view it. If you embrace it, then, you know, it's not so bad. You kind of take it on and say, oh, I got to do this, or I got to do that, or I got to go say hey to fans and this, that, and the other, then yes, it's going to be miserable. But for me, I try and embrace it and know that I have worked hard to get to where I am, and where you are is this comes along with it. No matter what you do, or sure, you can run all you want, but it's here. You know, there's no getting away from it.
Speaking of which, you know, every time that someone signed a contract in the spring training, we run up to you. That was one of those you can run away from all you want, but we're just going to keep coming. I mean, that's, I guess that you chalk that up as comes with the territory, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I knew, you know, when somebody signed, I knew questions were going to be asked, but just I have my views on it, and just kind of stick to what I always say.
Have you been, which I appreciate, and have you been able to function with that dynamic of it, with the business of baseball, and not let, like, I totally say, okay, you know, that's over here and this is here?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of tough, you know, as you're playing, you wonder what's going to happen to you as you go through arbitration or you go through free agency and all those type of things, but it's just one of those things where you have to just find a way to separate the two. I mean, even though this is a business, you do have people here that you're with every day, like your family. Like, you want to go play for them, you know, and you want to win with them. So you have to find a way to do that, but understand that, you know, there is a business side to it that just find a way to understand, should I say.
Has it been tougher the closer you get to free agency?
No, not really. No. Mm-mm. I mean, I'm still around the same guys, playing the same game. Obviously, I'm a little older, but I think that's the only thing, just a year or two older and, you know, playing, doing the same thing.
Do you feel, you know, we talk about Joel Embiid, I'll bring up another basketball reference, the Celtics. Okay, so the Celtics were, we talk about leader and having that one guy, and Kyrie was the best player, and everyone's almost like they wanted him to be a leader. Can you see, and maybe this is just your opinion of, like, sports in general, of how that can be a slippery slope? We talk about personalities. I remember when Vertek was captain, he had the C on his chest, but he was a leader in a different way. Can you see where, like, if you go in to a clubhouse or a locker room and say, we have to have that guy be the leader, it can be a dangerous, because he's the best player, it can be a dangerous thing.
Yeah, I mean, so just because you're the best player doesn't mean you're a leader. Some people are just naturally born as leaders. I mean, some people are really average at the sport that they play, but they are just natural born leaders. They know how to get everybody going, talk to everybody, play the game the right way. Some people it's just how it happens. I mean, not just because you're the best player doesn't mean you have to be the leader. I mean, you're the best player. Yes, you need to go out and perform and do everything you need to do to help the team win or whatever it is. But you can't just force somebody to be a leader or a captain. I mean, it just doesn't work that way.
A couple of years ago, like I said, in the third, since this is the third annual Mookie Betts podcast, the first annual, you know, we were sitting here in sort of the same situation, like in terms of where you were at. You felt you were having a what I classified as a good year, and but you said, I have to be better, I have to be better, I have to be better. Just assume that like you're in the same place you were a couple of years ago. How much different are you in terms of how you're approaching it compared to a couple of years ago?
Right now, I just understand it's a process more. I mean, obviously, I haven't been playing really that well this year, but I do. The main difference is I just know that it's a process. I mean, there's potential I could get hot, and then, you know, the numbers and all of a sudden they change. But just I'm working on just sticking to the process and understanding that if you focus on that, then results come. But if you start chasing results, then that's when you just start spinning your wheels.
And you're better at doing that now than you were 2 years ago.
100%. Yeah, I was didn't understand it 2 years ago. And, didn't really know my process 2 years ago. Now I have a better idea of what it is, and know that it can come at any given time.
Is there any frustration? And this is I'm not in your situation, so I'm legitimately curious about it. About when people say you're one of the top two players in baseball, and people saying you have to be one of the top two players in baseball, you have to be or top five players in baseball. Is that like, are you like, what?
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, there's a lot of good, great players in this league. And
well, Mookie, you have to be one of the top two players.
I mean, it's baseball. There's so much uncontrollable. There's so many things that go on, and you can't just automatically label somebody or tell somebody you have to do this. It just doesn't work that way.
Well, most importantly, you're a good person. And when, bless you, preemptive, bro, bless you. You're a good person. When going back to the playoffs last year, when it was obviously you had given those nice people some food, which I know you have done before. Is that awkward when that gets out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
Because it wasn't supposed to be that. I mean, me and my family went out there, and we don't do things like that for the media and everybody to see. It's just what we do. Like, it's how I was raised, how they were raised. When I say they, it's my family. And it's just kind of just out of the goodness of our hearts. I mean, it wasn't supposed to get out the way it did, but it is what it is.
Are you happy here? Have you come to like Boston even more so than maybe when you first got here?
Yeah, when I first got here, I wasn't a huge fan of it. Didn't really like the city that much, but it's definitely grown on me. And obviously, we have great fans and a great fan base, and it's definitely grown on me. I love my teammates, and in the front office, I think they do a good job in putting us in a good spot to succeed. And like I said, I'm with these guys eight out of 12 months. And, you know, I couldn't ask for a better group.
Can I ask you why you weren't a big fan of?
I don't know. I think just because coming from Nashville, it's just slower pace. a little more spread out. Boston's kind of, you know, tight. And it's just the people. You know, obviously, different attitudes and all those type of things. And nothing against anybody, but it's just kind of how it is. And, you know, I've learned to... You can put me on a plane now and I can go anywhere. And just by talking, having one or two conversations, I can have an idea of kind of where I am, you know, in the U.S. or whatever. And that's being here definitely helped me learn to adapt to different cultures, different people, and all those type of things.
Well, that's the evolution of a human being, not only a baseball player, right?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. That's, you know, I kind of look at things as a whole like that, and not just. Baseball. I mean, baseball teaches me more things about life. I think that's been my viewpoint on it for sure.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
Go ahead.
My question?
Yeah.
If KD knew he had a torn or ruptured or slight tear in his.
Okay, in case people don't know, that's Kevin Durant, and, oh, and this is. And, no, that's okay. And he basically tore his Achilles the night before we were taping this, yes.
But this is before, he hurt himself. Because I've seen somebody tear their Achilles before, and the way he looked back. I don't know if it was torn then, but there's no way he could have played if it was torn then. But it didn't seem like it was a calf thing.
Did you see the calf muscle?
Yes, I did. But that's what happens when you tear your Achilles.
Right.
But I'm talking about the first time.
Oh, you think?
When he hurt himself initially, they said it was a calf strain. But... He turned around and looked down.
But there's no way. There's no way if he has an Achilles, a torn or whatever. Yeah. There's no way he plays.
Right. But if he had that, knowing he's going into free agency, I know he's probably going to get a max contract anyway.
He's going to get a max contract and not play an entire year.
But why do you go out there and play? I guess because you know
you're going to play. You give him credit for that, right?
I can't, like, if I go out here and play, I'm going to really hurt myself. And so at what point do you say, I can't really help. I'm 50. He was less than 50%.
But here's the thing. Number one, you have to, I guess you give him credit for, like, hey, when I win a championship.
100%,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So the other thing is that you saw the GM cry and everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Obviously, I did feel bad for him because that's a big responsibility. You don't want to ruin anyone's career. But it's somebody, I want to know, who was telling... They're saying that all these people told him he was okay. You know as well as I do...
Hold on.
But that's the thing, is that... So, you know as well as I do, he not only has the team trainers, he has his people.
His own outside of the team.
Right. He has his Alex Guerrero, which is Tom Brady's guy, right? So he has his guy. So, he has... This has gone through about... five layers of doctors.
Easily. I mean, you tell me all of them okay.
Well, what do you think? I mean, what could it do? They just got greedy?
I think some of them okayed it, and some of them were like, I think they were like, look.
You might hurt this.
If you play, this could happen. It's a strong chance that it could happen. But it may not. You never know. And so... I guess the championship, they really needed him. He probably felt pressure that he had to play in order for him to
play. Okay, here's the question. If they're up 3-1, does he play?
No.
He doesn't play?
No chance. Because it was all desperation, which I understand. You need, like, do they really need him?
Well, that was a thing. We're coming in the series. Everyone was like, you don't need. They're good enough. But they clearly need him.
I mean, they with him, they could sweep.
Yeah. Well, that's why they're Golden State.
Yeah. But without him, I mean, it's just, I don't know, man.
So have you ever played with an injury where you're like, I know you've had injuries, but you're like, I don't know if I should be playing with this.
I haven't gotten hurt that bad yet. Hopefully never. So I haven't. I haven't had anything that bad yet.
Did you see? I mean, you've seen people do it though.
Yeah, I've seen people, and it's like baseball's not as the injuries are so much different. So it's kind of hard to say.
Yeah, but if a pitcher's arm's gonna fall off, I mean,
they stop them though. That's the thing. They don't let them go back out there.
Well, I mean, there was probably some cases of you guys last year going through the World Series. I mean, you had, Nathan Evaldi, he's only known a free agent year, right?
I mean, at that point, you're playing for yourself.
But nobody has a torn Achilles.
It's like nobody's that serious. Nobody's had anything that serious to where, he could have really.
Yeah,
I mean, they probably knew the most that could happen was he tears his Achilles.
That's the most. That's a huge. If he doesn't play, he's playing next year. And now he's not playing next year.
He's not playing at all the whole year. So my thing is as a team, do you sign him?
Yes.
So you're going to pay him?
Oh, yeah, the Celtics sign him.
You're going to pay him $40. Yes. To do nothing.
But do you get? Is he back to the next year? Yeah, he's like he got the max deal, right? The 4 or 5 years.
I'm thinking like, do teams not sign him for this year, knowing he can't play, and then boom, the year after. I mean, I don't know. It's like I'm paying you $40 million for a whole year, and you're literally not.
But he's that good.
Oh yes, but I'm saying, do teams sit out that year? Let him be a free agent.
No, because some team is going to do this. Uh-huh. You know why? Because, and this is the same thing, the dilemma the Celtics have with Kyrie Irving right now, is that you need superstars. There's only, 10 guys. Like, you can say, not even 10 guys, or you can say you can build a team around.
Right. Well, I mean, my thought was, as a team, as owners, maybe I'm thinking about baseball. It's a little different, but if I know he's going to be out for this whole year, nobody's sign him because the following free agency, the following year, then yes, we'll all try and sign him or whoever. But this year, he's not going to play. We might as well try and find somebody else and then go after him next year.
Yeah, but again, he's not. He's going to sign with someone.
Right, yeah. I just didn't know if owners would think that way.
Yeah, they would like to think that way, but there's always the, for instance, L.A., right?
Yeah.
If the Lakers, LeBron, you don't think he'd be like, hey, you know what, sit out this year, we'll figure it out. And then, and plus, if you get a Kyrie to go with another guy, mm-hmm. and then, hey, in next year, my guy KD is going to be there too. Yeah. NBA is so weird compared to baseball.
Yeah, it's completely different. I mean, I feel like if you had Tommy John, I mean, I guess they would still sign you, depending if you're Kevin Durant of baseball. But
well, I think it's happened, but I just don't. It's happened. Actually, you know where it's happened? This is totally not on a scale. Evaldi. Remember Tampa? Tampa signed him, and he didn't pitch the whole year. So that was the first and last time that we were comparing the two. So that's it? That's your question? NBA?
Yep,
man, between you and Cora, I ask me NBA questions.
Good time talking baseball.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm at that point in the year. I'm kind of sick of comedy.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, I'm just being honest because we're being honest. But you know what? This is, I really appreciate it because this does re-energize me a little bit because this is what I like doing, sitting down and talking. So.
Gotcha.
All right, thanks, man.
Yes, sir.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.